welcome to the second ever The Super Group. This is where we assemble an unlikely pair of special guests from the world of music and comedy to collaborate with us, me and Alex, a very likely pair, to write and record a completely original song over the course of a week.
Which we will debut for you, the listener, at the end of this very episode.
I'm Dottie Newsome.
And I'm Alex Kleiner.
Yay!
Yay!
We're so excited. We got episode 2 here. Very excited to introduce our guests. You know her from You're the Worst. She's also the voice of Korra in The Legend of Korra. And from her hit show on IFC, Stand Against Evil. Or maybe you just know her as Spontaneanation Fave. Or her podcast, The JV Club. Or maybe you know her from Being My Friend. It's Janet Varney.
Hi.
I know you from Friendship.
Thank you for knowing me. Janet, you are a talented actress. You're an improviser. You run SF Sketchfest, which is maybe my second favorite festival in the world.
I thought you were going to say you run marathons. And I was excited to be like, that's actually not true.
Do you also?
I do not run marathons.
Okay.
Never have.
Well,
maybe I never will.
You're good at all those things I just listed. And I discovered that you also have a beautiful voice. You play guitar and bass. So my first question for you is, how fucking dare you?
Okay. All right. I will see myself out.
It's just like
at the end of this podcast.
Our next guest was nominated for a 2014 Grammy Award for her work on Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's album The Heist, where she sang the track White Walls. She sings and she raps with her band The Flavor Blue. She's given TED Talks, and she's the director of Forecast Records Studio here in LA. Hollis Wong Ware.
Woo! Hello.
Hello, Hollis.
Thanks for having me.
So, and also, tell me if I'm wrong, you were the lead producer on the Thrift Shop video, right?
Yeah.
The music video.
I was.
So my question to you, in a similar vein, coming from someone who only has like 3 jobs, where do you get off coming on my podcast and making me feel lazy?
I see. Are you lazy or are you just, have you... really streamlined your economic
situation.
We just
so
Tawny,
you have
I feel,
to spread yourself hella thin with many assignments.
We spread ourselves very thin, but apparently not as thin as you.
Yeah, we're just very intimidated by our guests this week. We feel attacked because
well, we're
so
going to bully you the entire time, so you should be uncomfortable.
That'll be a fun.
Janet's
going
to bully you, and I'm going to be like, yeah, yeah,
please do
what she said.
Yeah. So actually, that's a good point. You guys have never met before today,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Today was the day.
It was the day.
Isn't that
very exciting?
Isn't that cool that we could write a song together without half the band meeting? Does that make for good shit?
Thanks, internet.
Yeah.
Janet, you also told me in an email that you play the auto harp, but you refused to play it for this. Why were you so rude?
I mean, listen, the auto harp is, that thing is in a real lockdown padded case.
And
it felt like a lot. When you have to tune that thing.
Yeah, because it's got
like
80 strings.
Days of tuning.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's like a zither, right? Or
yeah, I mean, I don't know how many strings it has. But it has a lot.
I'm sure someone's going to tweet at me how many strings it has. I don't care. I could look it up. I don't want to know.
You could.
I know.
Like a little mystery.
We started writing this in a weird way because I didn't want to force everyone to get together. I was just like, let's get some lyrical inspiration. So I asked Janet 7 days ago from today. I said, hey, how about you give me a story? What did I ask? A time that you've gotten lost.
Yeah, have you ever gotten lost?
Have you ever gotten lost? And do you want to tell us your anecdote? In brief or from your memory or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. The thing that popped into my head immediately was this trip that I was on the Big Island of Hawaii. I was there for a small Comic-Con that was incredibly charming, and they left a lot of free time for the attendants to hang out and snorkel and just do fun non-con stuff.
Non-cons.
And so my sweetie and I went out to like a black sand beach that also had these kind of amazing lava fields that stretch out into the water. And it's just very otherworldly, sort of feel like it's the closest you'll get to being on another planet in some senses. But there are also a lot of really cute animals that live in there, like little hopping goats that prance around. And so we completely stopped paying any attention to time and wandered out into this place where it sort of felt like time didn't matter anymore, and then remembered that time does matter. I was there for a specific reason and was being paid to be there, and we had absolutely no idea where we were and how long it was going to take for us to get back. And when we finally got back, I was like 45 minutes late to a panel, and I still wasn't the latest person there. And everyone was like, that's Hawaii time.
And didn't you say that there was like a tsunami warning?
Yeah, and then there was a horrible earthquake that happened, and that happened in where? It was Argentina?
In Chile.
Or it was Chile. Yeah, it was a Chilean earthquake. This was like in 2015. And so there was a big warning to everyone on the Hawaiian Islands that there might be tsunamis.
What a crazy feeling to be somewhere beautiful and to feel like I have all this time, and then to kind of be gripped by this weird anxiety of like, one, you're going to be late. Two, maybe there's a tsunami coming. Like, what a weird juxtaposition.
Yeah, there's a place. I think what I discovered about myself is I am a very anxious person, but when it's something that threatens everyone, I become very calm. Mm.
Sure.
So I'm the horrible person that's like, listen, I don't want to die of cancer, but if we all get knocked out by a comet, I love you guys.
Is it
that feels okay because it's out of my control in
and
a different way.
And everyone else is brought up to your anxiety level.
That's
so
right.
Like, hey, what,
why bother? Why bother giving a shit? At this point, we're all going
to
die.
So you're the person to follow if like something goes down. You'll keep calm and we'll follow you.
Yeah, or I'll keep calm in an existential way where I'm like, let's all just lie down.
Okay, but I would join that cult.
Okay,
yeah,
definitely.
Great.
I'll work on it.
Hollis, how are you in a disaster?
Oh, I'm dead within the first 48 hours, for sure. I know that about myself, though. Like, I'm like, get easily spooked. I don't love it, but it's who I am, and I have to embrace all of me. And I am like, I just have decided that like, I'm not going to do any like, I don't watch zombie shows. I have no preparedness, like imaginative preparedness for an apocalyptic situation. So I'm toast.
But you're going to be the one who's the most prepared in that everyone else thinks they know what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Because we've watched all that stuff.
Die.
Yeah. And then your instinct is going to kick in and everyone else is going to be like, wait, I thought we used silver bullets.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, no,
like,
here's this handful of cereal.
Right.
And that's
okay,
what's going to work.
But I live in a Costco now. And so.
Yeah. So we got Janet's story. That was like right on at the end of day one, I think. Maybe it was like late night. I feel like you were working all day and then you sent us an email. You had this beautiful story that made me think about a time that I was kind of like wandering in a weird, spooky place. And so I sent back a weird story about a bunch of dinosaur bones that I saw in the middle of this manicured garden in France.
I love that.
It was just so weird. I was in this garden, the Jardin de Marquisac, I think. And it's this like beautiful topiary place. But there's a sign when you walk in, like the only sign in English, and it just says, there is a dinosaur in this park. And you're like, what? Why? So I think the very first thing we did was I had this melody in my head about this fucking dinosaur. And I was like, I don't care if we throw this out, but I'm going to send this and everyone can like listen to it. And if it inspires anything, let's keep going.
There's a dinosaur on this wall. There's a dinosaur on this wall.
Tony sent that around, and I was immediately taken by the woes, the whoa, 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 whoa. I thought, oh, that sounded really cool. So I made a little, besides the one that we just heard, I made a little cut of some other woes that didn't make the first cut. Well, those were ahs.
I'm a big ah and woe artist.
Yeah, and they sound awesome. So, like, I knew at that time I really wanted to keep those sounds in, and we did that.
We did. Hollis, so you work with a lot of people and you do a lot of collabs and stuff. What normally comes first? Is it someone trying to write songs about dinosaurs? Is that normally the thing people
lead
with?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty tired topic, so I was disappointed when I heard that in the... I was refreshed, deeply refreshed by everything. I think a lot of what I do, I identify as a top liner, so I'm lyrics and melody. So oftentimes when I go into a session... either, you know, there's a beat that somebody made already, there's already production, and then, you know, whether we freestyle on it and just kind of come up with melodic ideas that we later write to, or if we have, like, a concept, usually it's, like, coming after the fact. You know, I do, like, electronic music, hip-hop music, R&B music. It's, like, rare that I get the washed-out guitars of my youth. as a sad girl, riot girl that, like, you know, grew up reading a lot of, like, punk message boards and had my own zine and learned all of my radical feminist politics through the zine community and the Riot Girl punk scenes.
Would you consider yourself an angsty teen? Were you an angsty teen?
Oh, def. Like, I leaned fully into the angst.
Like, what kind of posters did you have in your bedroom?
Oh, I didn't, you know, I've never been, like, as, like, gifted at interior decorating, so I, like...
I like that posters for you is being gifted at interior decorating.
Yeah, that's literally...
Like, tacks are hard, you guys.
Indicator. I think I would have, like, upset my mother. So, you know, I was of the LimeWire generation. I was like seventh grade, like LimeWiring and like waiting for 3 hours for one song to download. just a lot of like angst.
I'm glad that it spoke to you, because from listening to your work, I knew that you could sing and that you could handle anything, but I didn't know what you liked. So I was kind of like, I hope she liked this. We also asked for what your musical interests were. So we asked in the email, and Janet wrote back. I'm reading verbatim because you're adorable. My musical vibes. Oh, man. I'm up for whatever. I listen to a lot of angsty Scottish rock, which probably doesn't help anyone. But it did.
It did.
Oh, good.
She sent us a track from, it's called Head Rolls Off?
Mm-hmm. Head Rolls Off.
Head Rolls Off. Who's it by?
Frightened Rabbit.
Head Rolls Off.
When my blood stops, someone else is spoken of. When my head rolls off, someone else's will turn.
Hey, we just wanted to say really quickly that when we recorded this, Scott from Frightened Rabbit passed away, I think maybe 3 days after we were in the recording session. And Janet, as you know, she mentions in the episode, is a huge fan. And so she just asked us to read this from her Twitter that she posted, because she's just a big fan. So she says, like all those who've been so lucky to find, follow, and love this band for so many great years, I've felt such joy and comforting sense of being part of the human condition thanks to this extraordinary mind and his brilliant collaborators. Profound sympathy to Scott's family and friends.
We were combining inspiration off of like what Tawny had sent around, and then we were like taking in Janet's sensibility and making it like an educational moment for us to learn about Scottish rock. So we decided that we wanted the top of our song to have organ, like the top of Head Rolls Off.
Jesus is just Spanish boys.
So the very first thing that we kind of tracked and we'll be keeping to the final product was this organ intro.
Yeah, so we were kind of using the chords that I had laid down with guitar, obviously sounding wildly different on an organ in a great way.
Right.
I love an organ anytime. I'm like, put organs on this all the time. I don't care. What is it? Spoken word poetry? Organ. I always want a little bit of church and shit. Because I think it gives it a warmth that a lot of times angsty music can live sort of high in the vocals and low in everything else. And sometimes there isn't that middle that sort of makes you feel comforted. And I wanted our listeners to feel comforted, you guys. So you're welcome.
I love that.
But what really excited me about going down this angst path, other than being a total 90s child, is that sort of the answer to that like male angst sound that we're getting from all those Scottish bands like Frightened Rabbit is the Riot Grrrl sound that you mentioned, Hollis. So, for instance, bands like Bikini Kill, I also was just recently in London and I got to play some gigs with this band called Gutful. They're part of a team of bands, or like a promotion company, I guess it's called Loud Women, and they're doing modern day Riot Grrrl. Mixed with this sound that I think Hollis is really great at. We listened to your song Otter Pop, which you co-wrote with Sean Wasabi.
Yeah. This is how we otter pop.
What was it like working on that?
It was really fun. That was like the first time that we had ever worked in studio, and like we just got together and I didn't really know him very well, but I was just really charmed. He's like basically like as charismatic and life-giving as like a cartoon character. And we just kind of like brainstormed a ton of like really fun, vibrant like images and words and like tropical sensations. And then we kind of like strung them all together and wrote Otter Pop.
Janet, did you ever grow up listening to any pop or any like sweet music, or was it all angst and doom and gloom?
I'm trying to think if I ever really did like the pop stuff. Not so much. I mean, I definitely was like a Bjork you know, sugar cubes.
You've answered correctly. Yes.
But yeah, I'm doing that thing now where I'm getting old enough that I blame stuff on age, where I'm like, I don't know what the kids are listening to. And then I go back to when I was like 17, where I was like, I don't know what the kids are listening to. You know what I mean? Like,
someone recently told me, and I don't know if this is true, so feel free to fact check it and tweet at us if I'm full of shit.
Don't invite that.
I heard somewhere that at 27, like, statistically, you're less likely to enjoy new music. Hmm. And, like, at you...
From then on out?
Yeah.
Or just that age?
Yeah.
For some reason, 27, you lock
27,
down. And then you're
then
fine
once you're 28,
yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. No, but, like, from 27 on, like, you don't try to acquire new musical taste.
I feel like
And I might be full of shit, but I did
true.
Hear that.
No, so. I mean, I'm sure you yourself, unless you did that study or, you know, proclaimed that as your own. But I can't imagine that's true.
Huh. I wouldn't know. And when I get there, I'll let you guys
okay,
know,
cool.
I guess.
Cool,
but,
cool,
like,
cool.
I just haven't reached it yet. Cool. So.
5 more years.
Who knows? Yes, yeah. God willing, if I live that long.
All right, now we have to take a break, but we'll be right back with more of The Supergroup.
The Supergroup. So a couple days went by. We were trading ideas. But Hollis, you did suggest, like, right away, like, let's just get together.
Well, I think for me, like, writing songs just is so much quicker when you're together versus
yeah.
like,
oh yeah,
collaboration is the spice of life. And it's like where yeah. the spark comes from. And we might as well, like, yeah, make that happen.
My favorite thing about Hollis is that she uses gibberish even more than I do to do placeholder lyrics when the lyrics aren't written yet. I kind of always thought that was just like me being a weird improviser, because when I play with other singers and stuff, they don't really do that.
Hmm.
Do you experience a lot of singers that use gibberish?
That gibber on?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's more like doo-doo-doos, but yeah. I think that, like, what I've found with my band, The Flavor Blue, is that we actually end up getting, this sounds idiotic, but, like, we end up getting a lot of, like, lyrical inspiration from
yeah.
like spontaneous, like, first thought
yeah.
gibberish. So
yeah.
like, and you'll just kind of, like, spit out some syllables that infer you to a thought, and that'll kind of lead you. So I try to be, and I came, like, I also did, like, jazz singing when I was younger, so, like, scatting is, like, just kind of comes to me naturally, and just, like, the weirder the better.
Yeah. Oh, really? You didn't tell us that. I would have had you just boop-a-dee-boop-boop all over the shit. That's it. Scratch it. We're going back. Jazz number. Let's hear some of Hollis's
gibberish.
Amazing gibberish. Oh, this is me with her. Oh, my God.
Here's my chorus.
Yeah, so that's when we, you know, like, were still taken by Otter Pop, and we knew we wanted to have some sort of fun poppy breakdown section of this, like, otherwise angsty punk track. And you both Tawny and Hollis, but, like, improvised it, and it was, like, super fun and in the room. And
but one thing you did do is you took us away from, and I'm so happy you did, you took us away from the melody that I'd come up with about a dinosaur. And while I like that melody, what it really did was it gave us the gift of this cool chord progression. And Hollis rewrote the melody for the verses and made it suit her voice more, which I love, because then I'm challenged and I have to, like, sing like a different person. Aww. And we got this cool sound.
Looks like I've gone and lost my way again. Time's tracking me down, stalking me around.
Yeah.
Over my shoulder, can feel the shadow taking hold.
Was that easy to come up with? It looked easy. You just sat there on my fucking couch and just came up with it.
It was fun. Actually, like, and I said this to you guys when we were writing it, the kind of the chord progression of the guitar was challenging for me to write on. And I think because I do so much pop songwriting, everything's just, like, very symmetrical and very, like, on the two and the four.
Right.
And, any variation is usually coming in the instrumentation and not necessarily in the, like, rhythm of the chord progression. So I was, like, challenged by it, and it was cool. And then, yeah, I mean, we all wrote the lyrics together, and I think that's when we were trying to kind of crystallize and take the essence of your story, Janet, and thinking about, like, I think you just said earlier, like, this, the kind of allure of the terror, like, it's kind of, like, freaky, but you're down. So we were, like, kind of trying to encapsulate that paradox, or, like, just feeling like there was this ominous thing.
Yeah, because we did kind of get into, like, a existential question where we're like, okay, we like this sort of Riot Girl sound, which is very, like, strident and forward and mm-hmm. self-assured. But then we're dealing with this kind of like ennui that really belongs in like an emo song of like, oh, what am I doing? Like, how could I move on and blah.
Yeah, that we were talking about what the you in. Like you can try to, or you can catch me.
Yeah, we made the existential crisis the you. Like we made the like, you is...
the dinosaur.
Here is a sentence. You is the dinosaur.
You is the dinosaur.
You is the dinosaur. You is the existential. You is the I am 27 and I don't like new music. You is.
You is so many things.
You is I scared. I lost on beach. You is.
You is the reason I'm not, I'm late to my panel.
You is why I late. Yeah. You is why I scared. And you cannot have me.
Oh, that's great.
That's what we came
and
up
And you with. Is what I sing of.
You wow. is what I sing of. Janet, what would you say is the percentage of like comedy music to earnest music you've been allowed to create in your career? Because you're a comedian.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you get the thing like me where people are like, you're a funny lady and you can sing. You can only sing funny songs now.
Yeah.
Do you get to do a lot of like music that's just trying to be good?
I mean, I don't do either anymore. But yeah, when I came down here, that was, well, that was something that I hadn't really done. I had only been in bands, like serious. I don't know what that means. I'm just not comedy.
Yeah, just like earnest. I always say earnest.
Yeah, earnest,
like.
Earnest bands. And then when I came down here, I did feel like, oh, I should do something that like advances whatever it is I'm trying to do here.
For sure.
And so I did start writing like comedy music, but I still wanted it to be good. Like
right.
I definitely
yeah.
wanted, I couldn't let go of wanting it to sound like it could have been about something else.
Yep.
You know, and that's one of the things I've loved about doing like Thrilling Adventure Hour stuff is that or stuff with PFT that's involves music is fun to kind of dip a toe back into it. But I would love to do it on a regular basis. For
yeah.
Sure.
I mean, through that group, the Thrilling Adventure Hour and through Paul F's kind of circle of people, I've discovered so many comedians who could also have full music careers. They're just like focusing on comedy, but they play instruments or they sing incredibly. And that was part of the inspiration for this whole podcast. Is I was like, I want to feature these people and give them a chance to just like sing and play shit. And yeah,
love it.
Be the rock star they deserve to be.
Yeah, so we got in the studio today a mere few hours ago. And the first thing we did was we laid down some drums. My husband, Nate, laid down the drums.
Yay, Nate!
Great job, Nate. He's sitting in the corner.
The unspoken hero.
He's the best.
We won't give him a microphone. We should have.
He really is sitting in the corner like he's been bad.
Okay, next thing we gotta lay down is some bass, because I like to build from the ground up. So Janet Varney is gonna lay down a bass track.
Let's do the pre-chorus again, because I realized I meant for that to be more consistent rather than snap, like rather than stop starting. I mean, I like kind of being sloppy and slappy with it on the chorus.
I like that too about you.
Sloppy and slappy. Don't tell anyone I said any of those words.
Oh, you know Josh is recording all these words.
Oh, Josh!
Busted!
Yeah, and Janet, you just played the bass line to a click, which some bassists hate doing. But because we didn't have the drums comp together yet, or we didn't have a take that we all like loved, you did it to the click. Was that what you liked? That's a dumb way to say it. You asked for it. Of course you probably liked it.
You sound like you want me. I don't have a problem playing to a click at all. I mean, to me, it's sort of cleaner in terms of like the responsibility of the bass to be, you know, rhythm. Sometimes that's harder to do if you have a busy drummer. So not to say that Nate was busy. I didn't really get to hear him record, but it was better for me to have the like the rigidness of the click.
Well, it is kind of a busy drum part because the guitar part is busy, which is a result of me, the way that I strum or whatever, or just frankly me wanting to get off of chords faster. Because I'm not like a lead guitar and I don't want to like noodle around. So I'm just like trying to serve the lyrics and trying to just create urgency. So I think I was like always moving chords on the and, which is, I think, sounds cool. And like now it's a party, right?
Yeah.
Alex, isn't that a music rule?
When it's on the and, it's a party. When it's on
the one,
it's a funeral.
Funeral. Yeah.
So write that down in your books.
And then you know the other one about the organ, like when the organ part is moving, then nobody is soothing the babies.
That's a fun thing we just decided to start doing on this podcast.
You can't sleep when the organ part moves.
So then we had Hollis come in, who is just a ball of spontaneous energy and creativity.
You want to do your walkie-talkies?
Yes. Walkie-talkie, motherfucker, yo-yo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
motherfucker, yo-yo. This is walkie-talkies in the verses. This is the empty line that we weren't singing in the verses.
Because I walked in, walked right till I wandered. That's how you did it, right?
Yeah, because I walked in, walked right until I wandered off.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Trying to strip away every last mistake.
Yeah.
Cool.
When Hollis was writing with us, we knew that we wanted, I mean, that's when we decided it was going to be like super punky and riot girly. And I wanted to bring out some of that angst and grr in her voice. So we tried a bunch of different options for the end of her second verse.
Can we do one more of that? And then when you get to the no, I'll never be the same, could you like bring it more forward, make it a little more aggressive?
Yeah.
Yeah, just to, I just want to see what it's like.
Or do you want me to like?
Yeah, just so it pushes, yeah, just pushes us into the.
No, I'll never be the same.
Yeah, just, yeah, give it a little angst and that might be a fun option.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm with it.
Yeah.
No, I'll never be the.
Doing all Lady Fallout Boy.
Yeah. Which, Lady Fallout Boy.
Fallout Girl.
Lady.
Fallout Madam.
Now everything's stranger and I know I'll never be the same. Sorry, I fucked that up.
That's great. That's great.
So next we had to lay down some backup vocals and I had written them and put them on a demo and then immediately forgot everything about them, you know, like taking French in high school. And so when it got into the studio and I was trying to tell Hollis which part to sing, I mean, Hollis and I have both spent more time as backup singers in our lives than we care to admit, so this should not have taken this long.
That's the first one though?
Sorry, can you just,
yeah,
can you just play it? I think you just have to go back up to the note.
For the second one? For the first one? I appreciate that. Can you do that one more time?
Yes, do that.
Can you turn the bass up just a little tiny bit? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm basically just turning the track down.
Basically just turning the track down?
Okay.
Hi, Brett!
Hey.
Brett is, like, definitely you're the engineer of all the takes, of all the sessions. And then I mix them, and then Brett masters them. Does that seem right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all kind of co-produce. Like, right. We all sort of direct the session in terms of, like, what we want, and we try to make it super collaborative and take ideas from anyone.
What's it like to go from engineer to lead guitarist and back in a day?
Well, during the tracking, I was literally doing both at the same time. That's, so, yeah.
Was that fun for you, or did it make you feel like I should be getting paid more?
Oh, well, that's now that you bring it up.
Uh-oh, Tawny, yeah.
Abort. We have no control. They barely pay us. Sorry.
No, I've gotten kind of used to that, like at home in my little mini studio, just kind of like octopus arms everywhere.
So
yeah.
We sent you like a little scratch track with some bullshit vocals and some nonsense click track probably. I don't even know what was in that scratch. And we just said, surfy, like the Ventures kind of, but also grunge or whatever. Was that helpful? How did you feel?
Oh, that was great. I was like done. I love that kind of style. I put a Bigsby on my guitar.
Yeah.
And the second I put that Bigsby on, it just instantly became like my number one. I'm like, oh, I'm a surf rocker now.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stop using it.
Yeah, so we recorded this track in 7 days, wrote and recorded it. But as with last week's episode, we did not mix the track in 7 days because that would be cuckoo bananagrams. So Alex, man, Alex, you do so much work in the mix. I feel like I'm not pulling my weight.
No, you absolutely
toil
are.
Toil away, nudging kick drums and fucking auto-tuning my flat-ass voice.
No, well, first off, you required no tuning.
Thank you so much. You walked right into that.
When we were working on this song, the thing that immediately took me was like how awesome all of the vocals were and how like vocally huge the song was going to be. Yeah. And I remember earlier on in the email thread prior to recording, you had like had a Dolly Parton song that you had referenced.
Okay, because I love the Trio album with Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris, and that was recently reissued.
You say tomorrow you're going. Well, that's so hard for me to believe.
I've been re-listening to that album and I was like, oh my god, we have three women all with like different vocal timbres, and like one's kind of, you know, Hollis kind of has a reedier, like almost like a Dolly Parton sound, and I was like just imagining us doing this like folk music banger. We threw that out, but
right, so we brought what we did though was bring like three-part harmony to punk rock.
Truly.
Which is pretty, that's something not to sneeze at. Jana did the Lord's work, because she sings in the chorus, she sings the highest part and the lowest part.
So we're in a Janet sandwich.
Right, we're in a Janet sandwich. And here is, okay, here is just Janet singing on the chorus.
Sneak up on me, but you can't surprise me. Cause I'm in it and there's no way out. Something came and hypnotized me.
Wait for
and
it.
Hide and seek and now I'm lost and found.
Yeah. So that's Janet singing with her damn self.
With her damn self. And then if you take it, yeah, it's
so good.
It's amazing. So if you take everyone's vocal from the chorus and put it together, they sound like this.
Something came and hypnotized me. Been hide and seek and now I lost and found.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So also, besides Janet singing the top and the bottom parts of a three-part harmony for the chorus, she also put down some awesome bass, and especially this little lick here. Which we use in the intro, mm-hmm. and we also use it during the breakdown. But, like, in the intro, because she made up her own part. Like,
yeah.
She got here, she went into a corner, mm-hmm. and she sat there with that bass guitar and her headphones, and she came up with this fun little lick that we liked so much that we ended up using it. And it's so cool, especially with the intro organ.
She's multi-talented, and I was so happy to give her an opportunity to play that.
Have you, Janet, ever played bass on a track that's been recorded before? Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is a song on
what
the internet
is
that's just, it's called Me and My, and the comedy duo that I was in when I first moved down here was called Fempire. It was Fempyre.
Yes.
And we were a faux feminist band in the spirit of Meredith Brooks's song Bitch, which I have a very hard time with. And so we were like, what if we were just two characters who thought we were incredibly feminist? And then you listen to the lyrics and you're like, oh, wait, I'm uncomfortable with this.
You're
like, no.
The patriarchy.
Yeah.
Still.
So we say things like, you know, we could never, like, the sort of, there's a lot of made up words in it, but it's like, you know, we couldn't be president because we're too nice.
Yeah.
And we can't be accountants because women aren't good at math. But we're very tough, so watch out. Like, there's just a lot of that sort of like, oh, I'm getting mixed messages.
And my shit don't smell like roses.
I'm an angel in disguise.
I don't always say I love you.
When your member's between my thighs.
Our love can never be harmonious.
Your logic's too testosterone.
You understand my estrogen generosity.
The chorus does contain the word vagina a lot.
Yeah.
It's me and my vagina are coming up behind you.
That straight up sounds like a Bikini Kill song,
yeah.
For sure. I like that you were down with me putting as much like crunch and funk and stank on the bass.
Oh, great. Great with it.
You know, that
legitimizes it somehow. Yeah.
Crunch, stank, and funk.
Oh, so good. Like it smells like a music recording studio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This room did get a smell.
So I think that I speak for both me and Tawny when I say our favorite part of the song is definitely the breakdown, which was so fun. It has
so fun because we didn't know what it was, because homegirl wrote it as she stood there in front of the microphone.
Hollis literally wrote it seconds before she had one take to record the vocal on it.
Oh, I forgot about the bridge. Guess what? I get to write right now.
You didn't write it?
No. But I'll do it. It's okay.
I love that. She's like, sorry, I was unprepared. But I'm like, no, I love this. So she did that breakdown. And then after it, we decided to do a bunch of noises. Why did we do that?
Well, going into it, we knew that, you know, we had the foresight to be like, hey, let's get claps on this. Like, let's get humans clapping. We know it was going to be a simple kick and snare pattern to begin with, you know, and that's just this. Right, so that, and then we said, okay, let's throw some claps on it. So we mix some claps in.
And that's just the four of us standing around the microphone. They sound really great.
Yeah, they're really cool. I think they bring it to life. And then we just put in a bunch of ad-libs. I think we went an entire 3.5 minutes uninterrupted with Tawny and Hollis and Janet standing around a microphone just kind of doing...
Just shouting and making noises.
Little shouts.
Woohoo! Who's that? Hey! Okay! Wow, wow. Wow, wow. Nanny, nanny, boo boo.
Sure.
Yes.
Jukebox money.
No.
Here's the ones that we ended up putting in for the actual breakdown. No lead vocal, a few other instruments.
See, that's tasteful.
Yeah, tasteful ad-libs. The cute little hey that Hollis starts the first verse off with was definitely in the take that we used for the majority of her lead vocal.
Oh, so she did that before she started singing?
Yeah, she was. It was the one where she was like riffing, kind of jokingly.
Cartoon.
She's like, la, and then she goes, hey! And it's the coolest, cutest thing in the world. And I'm like, I gotta keep it in.
Janet, one thing I like to do with our the person who provides the main like lyrical inspiration or the thematic oeuvre of the piece, I like to put them on the spot and ask them to come up with a title right then and there.
Oh, okay.
And
this is good because I can't remember any of the lyrics at all.
You don't have to. The best songs don't have the title in the lyrics.
Yeah.
I'll go to my grave saying that. As I'm killed, I'll say.
Okay. Well, I guess we can, okay. I feel like there's so many things that went into the making of this that I don't know how to.
What was the name of the beach, the Black Sand Beach? Do you remember? What's the name of the town?
Absolutely no idea. Well, it was just in the, I was on the Big Island, so it wasn't even like in a town. It was just on the island. Yeah.
I'm not mad. Do you want to look at the island?
I know. I'm not
title.
Mad at either.
I kind of like On the Island.
Yeah.
Because like On the Island, you'd think that'd be a song that was like,
yeah, and instead it's the person on the island sort of speaking out in all, like, and she's speaking out to all these different directions.
I also feel like it's maybe talking about the island within.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That you're stranded on.
Yeah, man.
And
yeah.
Yet accepting your fate.
Because you're also, you're okay being stranded, exactly. Being marooned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put yourself there.
This song is called On the Island. Gosh, thank you, Janet.
Boy, thank you.
I know, you Hollis. Hated that.
She saved me.
No, you guys both were so incredible to work with. What we did was we set out to do something earnest and just do a good job, but then we also got to have a lot of fun because I didn't know Hollis before this, but you're delightfully fun and funny, and your personality like really came through the second I met you.
Aww.
And I know Janet already and feel really comfortable with her. And so I was like, oh, I just want this to feel like fun and peppy and cool and weird. And I think we achieved it.
I think we did. Very
good.
Yeah. Last thing. We need a band name, you guys.
Oh.
Since I put Janet on the spot for that one, I'm going to put Hollis on the spot
for
this.
Great. How about we're called The Sharpies?
The Sharpies.
Yeah. Why don't you give us a nice radio DJ intro into, you know.
And now for your listening pleasure, On the Island by The Sharpies.
Just play dead. Over my shoulder, I can feel the shadow take.